and started digging around a little bit myself, going to the library. You know, I work right across the street from the Little Rock Central Public Library downtown. They moved since then, but anyway, they used to be across the street from where I work. But anyway, I got interested in these things, and it caused me to start getting, because I really wasn't inquisitive about a lot of the things of God. I thought, you know, where I was going, they said you pretty much had you saved, you're ready for heaven, you know. But I'm finding out, you know, maybe I wasn't ready for heaven. But anyway, it caused me to get a little more inquisitive. I'm thankful that I did get a little bit more inquisitive about the things of God, and I found out, you know, there's a lot here that you know, like I said, it's another language. I mean, they don't even talk the same thing. They don't talk about the same thing. And I'm just so thankful that I'm among a people that are searching. And I mean, I've been here a long time. We're still searching. You know, it's still searching the scripture. And the Bible tells us to search the scripture. You know, we're to do that. Because in that, you can find, I found the Bible, you know, it's such an interesting book. I mean, there's so much there. Brother Lineker one time talked about it's like peeling an onion. You know, you peel it, you just keep peeling. And there's more to it. It just keep, you know, and that's where in the Bible you can keep, you can read it, and you thought, well, I read that before. But it's something about it, you know, that it come alive to you, it jumps out at you, and you think, man, that's, you know, that's strong. I remember reading some of the books, you know. I started reading the Bible through way back when I just had got into church, and they started passing out these Bible reading charts or whatever they were, and then but I was just reading it, you know, just to read it. But I'll tell you what, some of those books back there that you know, like even Deuteronomy. But anyway, any of these books, you know, if you can get your mind on it and begin to meditate on it a little bit, I mean, you can really get some things out of there, and it'll come alive. And I believe that's what it is. I began to look at it, and like Sister Goforth was saying about Acts, you know, being a report, you know, of the church, what the activities, what they was doing in the early church, and showing what, you know, that's what it was, their lives, what they was doing, how they living. And but you look in the Old Testament, you begin to read, you know, like when I first started reading, I would like to get through those first five books, you know, the Moses' first book of the law, you know, I mean, they're, but really, I got to where I don't just rush through that like I used to. I like to just, once I get through that, then I can coast. You know, the rest of it, you know, is kind of like things of the kings and, you know, getting out of the, you know, going through the wilderness and they coming into Canaan land and conquering all the land. I mean, I can get into that, you know, then the kings and all that. Sometimes it's kind of depressing when you get all the good kings, then you go to the bad, you know, you think, oh, Lord, you know. But anyway, that's some of that get, but you read the law, you know, you think, you know, you know, all this about the law, I don't need that. But anyway, but I can get into it. I mean, it really, I got to where I don't rush through it anymore. I try to get something from it. I try to absorb, you know, at least a message, you know, in what God is trying to do. You know, he's trying to get a people, you know, that will, you know, a nation, all these nations out here in the world that they were dealing with. But there was one nation that God was dealing with to try to get them to live such a life that where he could work with them, you know, where he could, you know, he had laws in there where, you know, even where they camp, you know, he was wanting everything to be clean, you know. So, you know, he told them how to do everything. I won't repeat what all he said, but anyway, he said that so he can be there among them. You know, where he could walk among them. That's why he wanted it so clean, why he wanted all of the refuge and all of the waste and everything that took taken care of, out of the way, covered up, you know, not, you know, things uncovered, unkept. He wanted it kept, and he had it that way. And so he could be among them. And I think God wants us, you know, to have our lives in such a way, you know, so he can be among us, you know, so he can help us. You know, God, that's you know, he has laws there for a reason, you know. So where, you know, if our lives are kept in such a way, you know, if we begin to you know, try to clean up our lives and to be in such a way to where God will come and dwell among us. You know, he dwell among his people, like Brother Mike said, you know, in the pillar of a cloud by day and a fire by night. You know, God was there with them. You know, I mean, but when they went wrong, like when they was coming into Canaan land and things was going good, and one of the men, you know, got a little greed in his spirit, and he, you know, stole some, got the accursed thing, they call it. Anyway, but he all of these things affected them. And I was thinking, you know, this, and what he did, you know, when he took that golden wedge and the Babylonian garment, it not only hurt him, but it hurt his whole family. You know, isn't that sad? I mean, his whole family. You know, the kids didn't take it. You know, the sons and the daughters didn't. It was him. But it affected his whole family. I mean, they were all stoned. And you think, well, that's cruel. But I used to listen to Brother Tucker explain, you know, about why some of these things happen. They seem so cruel. But he said it was the spirit that was in these people, you know, that in that person, in his family. And God didn't want that spirit. Like he said, a nation, sometimes God told him to destroy the whole nation, young and old, you know, everybody. You think, oh, that's so cruel. But he would say that the spirit that was in these people. You know, God didn't want that spirit to continue on. He wanted to get rid of that spirit. And they were in these people. So he had to get rid of all of them. But I think, you know, we learn so much about God, and we should want to clean up our life. You know, we should want to have a life that's pleasing to the Lord so he can dwell, you know, among us. You know, we want God to dwell. We want to be able to walk in a place like this, in the sanctuary, and God come down. You know, when his praises go up, then blessings come down. You know, that's what we want. We want God's blessings to come down. When we come in here and begin to praise the Lord, we want his blessings to come down. You know, we want him to bless his people. And that's why we want to live in such a way that God can bless his people. You know, that he can walk among us. He can dwell among his people. So I'm just so thankful to be in a place where we're learning. We're still learning. We're still seeking the Lord. To where we can learn how to please him more. How to learn more about him. You know, so he can dwell among us. So I'm just so thankful tonight we're here to learn about the Lord and be able to lift our voices and praise and worship to open our hearts to him, that where we can dwell, where he can dwell with us. So I'm just so thankful tonight.
Since I've been with this people, I've learned more than said. Brother Talley was talking about the church I used to be in. If you just lived a good life, you didn't smoke and drink and all like that, well, you was on your way to glory. But I found out it's different. It's a lot more to it than that. So anyway, I'm just thankful that, and I think, Lord, I just can't believe it's happened to me. But it did, and I'm glad. And I thought tonight, as we was talking about, we're on our way to heaven. And some of the things, and of course I've told this before, but some of the things that really stirred my mind when I was just a young person, somewhere or other, I mean, not that I was a goody-goody person, but just seemed like I couldn't get away from the Lord. I mean, I got saved and received the Holy Ghost at an early age, and I just couldn't get away from the Lord. I mean, like, I didn't try, but what I mean is, he just kept his hand on me. And but I'd go to church and I would listen. And I've told y'all how that the Lord led me to think about the scriptures where that that if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you, and so on and so forth. And they would tell about that, said if your right hand is always picking up things, stealing things, well, just cut it off. I thought, oh, that don't sound good to me. It just don't sound right. And if your eye is seeing things that it shouldn't, and they really said it, said just pluck it out. I thought, well, I don't see any of them that didn't have but one eye or one arms and such like. And I really studied about that, and I thought, no. And you know what? People of God, or even people that want God, they ought to study things like, because listen, everything is going is not the truth. You know, they don't tell you the truth about it. And I was just a young person, but I studied about that, and I thought, now look, there's a definition to that that they're not getting, and it couldn't be that. That was just a natural application that they was giving it, and I thought, surely that means something more than that. And then there was a scripture in Revelations about the woman that was clothed with sun and a moon under feet, and they begin to explain that and all. I thought, you know, that just don't sound right to me. And it really bothered me. I'm just a young person, but I was concerned and I was bothered. And I said to myself, I said, someday I'm going to find somebody that can tell me what that means. And I just kept going on to church and living for God and all like that. And a minister of this body of people come to our part of the country. And you know, he answered every one of those questions. I didn't even have to ask a one. I thought, this is what I've been looking for. So anyway, God is so good to us, and if we'll just hang on and just live for him. And as Brother Tally said tonight, it is so interesting. I got to reading the other night, and Lord of mercy, it was 12 o'clock before I knew it, and I thought, I've got to get up and go to bed. And you can just really get interested in it, and then it won't be boring to us. I know we go through those times and all, but anyway, God is so good to us. And I was thinking about what you said, you know, we're talking about sticking on the job. We was in Tyler at a meeting once, and that's when it was. I was looking at the pictures of the camp meeting, you know, and when it was way back when I was in my 20s. And I was there. My husband kept our little girl. She was about 3 years old, and we was living on the farm. And he kept her, and he knows how to can and wash and iron, and I've just got a good husband. That's all there's to it. So, but anyway, he took care of her, and he canned some peas for me while I was gone with a pressure cooker. You know, a lot of women even is scared of pressure cookers. But anyway, he cleaned my house up real good and did everything wonderful while I was gone. And so I went to this meeting, and they'd taken pictures. And so when we was down in Tyler at the meeting, we was out there looking. Brother Ralph Angelo was alive at that time, and we was all looking, and we was pointing out different ministers that we knew, and I found myself back there. Some of us people from the Brinkley Church was there, and anyway, we went back inside, and then I went back out there by myself, and I looked at my picture, and I was just a young lady then. Of course, this has been, eight or ten years ago that I seen this picture. But anyway, I looked at that picture and I said, I'm still here. Yeah. And I was just 20 something years old then. And so I thought, well, I was so glad that I could say that I was still on the job and all. Yeah. But this is a wonderful way, and I appreciate it so much. And even our language is different, and I know our granddaughter was about 3 years old, and her mother was babysitting a little girl. And of course, the little girl was just about a year old. And so they'd been to church, and also she got down to the little playpen, and she said, Letha, she couldn't talk real plain. She said, Letha, do you know about the body of Christ and the beast? And she couldn't even hard talk plain herself. And so she thought that Lisa ought to know what she'd heard. I thought that was real cute. And then another time, Brother Tucker had preached on hell, and she heard it. So this little girl was crying, and she said, Lisa, if you don't hush your crying, you're going to go to hell. Her mother said, oh, don't say that. She said, well, Butter Tucker said it. So she thought Butter Tucker said she could say it too. But, you know, our children, we might think that they're not paying any attention And but listen, we'd be surprised what our kids could tell people that don't know anything, you know. But I'm thankful for that. We are speaking a different language, and I know that even I have to watch myself when I'm talking to like a neighbor or a friend that's of the, you know, of different walk of life. I have to watch my language, because I'll be saying something that they don't even know what I'm talking about. So, but anyway, it's an interesting way, and it's a wonderful way, and I'm so thankful. I thank Lord. I just can't believe that. Well, you know, the Bible tells us we are chosen people. We're chosen people. It's just all there is to it, and nobody can make us believe anything else, because we know. We read it in the book, and we know it. We've had the experience, and we know it. And God is good to us, and it's an interesting way, and I just reminisce a lot of the things that how that the Lord has brought us this way, and how that sometimes you can't really see what the Lord is trying to do. And I was reminiscing some time ago, and I was thinking about when I was a little girl. I had typhoid fever when I was 5 years old, and I got pretty bad. Fact of business, the doctor back then, you had to be real careful what you eat when you had typhoid fever. And we were just poor country people. And in fact, we were sharecroppers. You don't get much poorer than a sharecropper, because you don't get very much of the share. Anybody that's farmers know that sharecroppers don't make very much. But I loved sour pickles. I used to. Well, I'm not so crazy about them now, but then I loved them. Well, that's what I wanted. And then this sounds strange, but people's has strange tastes sometimes. But I like cured bacon. You know, this real good hickory cured or whatever. It's real good bacon, you know. Well, I loved that, and I liked it. I liked it raw. Well, that's what I wanted, and my mother would give it to me. And she said, when your dad comes in the house, you better stick that under the pillow, because if he finds out I'm giving it to you, he'll get me. And so, but anyway, you know, I had lost my appetite. I didn't want anything, and I had just went away to nothing. So anyway, the doctor come to see me, and I was better. And he said, Miss Adams, our name was Adams. My name was Adams before I married. And I said, well, I got a double dose, Adam and Adams. So what do you do with that? So anyway, he said, Miss Adams said, whatever you're doing for this child, said, you just keep on doing it. And I thought, give me some more bacon and sour pickles. So anyway, I was thinking about back then that I would think about the Lord. And this week I was thinking about how the Lord takes his time about things. He does not hurry like we do. And he sure don't do things as fast as I want him to. And I know I don't do things fast as he'd want me to. But did you know that there was two families in that community that we got together with? And of course, back then, we didn't have cars. We just poor people, we didn't have cars, so we had to go in a wagon. And we would get together, and we'd get in our wagon, we'd go see them, they'd come see us. So this one of these brethren, his name was Brother Ballard, and he had a friend. That's back when I was just 5 years old, wasn't even going to school then. And I was thinking about the time, how the time was, that this Brother Ballard had a friend up in Illinois. And this friend that he had was our minister that the church I come out of, that was him. Well, anyway, he went up there, and after years passed, and I had grown on up and all. And so he told him, he said, you ought to come down in our part of the country, because we got people down there that don't have pastors, and said they're going to be a good work for you. So anyway, this pastor, he come down, and he had passed. In time past, he had come through our community, close to that area, and he had felt, the Lord told him that, I've got some people here, you know. But then this other brother telling him that confirmed it, you know. So anyway, this Brother Ballard told him, and he come to our part of the country, and he began to preach this gospel. He was a man of the body of Christ, and he began to preach, and I thought, you know, how strange it was. Of course, I had grown on up. I was about 15 or 16 years old at that time, but I thought how that God takes his time. Now, see, all the way from me being 5 years old to 15 or 16 years old, but I had something in my heart that even though as I growed up, I wanted to know something about the Lord, and I just admired Christian people. I thought that's just the way that you ought to live, make you be a better person, y'all. So, but I just admired how that God, as I grew on up and I began to hunger after the things of the Lord, I didn't know what I was wanting, but I knew there's something that I needed. And so then this minister began to preach and to teach the things that I had read in the Bible that I thought someday someone will tell me what this means. And he told it. I didn't have to ask or anything. So God is, you know, it says something about he's long-suffering. And then, too, he waits. He don't do things speedily. I mean, maybe some things he does, but in my case, he certainly didn't. But as I grew on up, I was concerned about the Lord, and I wondered, I was kind of like Brother Clyde Patton. He said, I wonder what would happen to me. He said, I was too good to go to the hot place, and I wasn't good enough to go to heaven, so I said, I wondered, where would I land? So that was my predicament. I thought, now, you know, because, I mean, when we was being raised, my folks, they disciplined us. I mean, they was good to us, but you didn't see too many bad, mean kids back then because, I mean, they knew what Peachtree tea was. That's a switch, in case you don't know. Come off of Peachtree. And I have got a mini one of them. But anyway, I lost my thought then. I was whipping the kids. But we was all trying to be the best we could and all. And I completely lost it, so I guess I'm not supposed to go that way. But anyway, the thing about it is God is long-suffering, and he will help us. And if you are hungry, and if there's some fire there, he'll fan it, and he'll take care of you and help you. And so I know that we go through trials and temptations and such like, but the thing about it, we've got to love God so much more than anything else. And all and I thought whenever they preach about heaven, how wonderful it was, and all like that, no heartaches, no sorrow, I thought, listen, that's a place for me. I'd like to go there because I'm getting tired of all this trouble. And the world is getting worse and all like that. But anyway, God is so good to us. And I know that the younger people, because after all, I come up in this young. And I gathered with the older people. I didn't have any young people to be with and all. But, you know, I wanted this so bad that I really didn't pay attention to being just around the old people. 40 and 50 years old, that's what they were, but to me they was old, you know, not as old as I am, but I don't think I'm that too bad old. But anyway, they say you're old as you feel like you are, so anyway, tonight I feel real good. So, but anyway, it's precious and all, and I know that, and I've heard a minister say that the longer you're in this, if you're not careful, you'll get weary. And it will get disinterested, but I'm glad so far that hadn't happened to me. I'm glad that I look forward to every time, and we've always liked to listen to all the tapes, the DVDs, or whatever we could get a hold of, because after all, it's going to take everything we can get a hold of to make it. So tonight, I appreciate all the things that I've heard tonight, and I really have a desire to keep going, and I hope and pray that I can make it, and I'll see y'all over, and we'll sit down and talk about all the good times we've had.
Started out talking about how you can get bored, and sitting here mentioned to the other ladies here, I thought about the Israelites wandering 40 years in a wilderness, Brother Michael. If you want to talk about boring, that's all they did. Wandering the wilderness, or, well, round and around the same mountain, you know. And I'm always checking my watch, you know. You go on a trip, just a few hours, you know, are we there yet, you know. And just to think about round and round and round, same thing, 40 years, you know. As long as I've been living, to just have wandered around the mountain. That would be boring. But I don't know where you can think that this life is boring right now after the last 2 years we've had. Woo! I thought Mark Lowry, most of y'all probably heard of him. I have an old recording of him, and he was saying that if he could sum up his Christian walk, this life, living for God, in one word, he said it wouldn't be joyous, victorious, disappointing, sad, happy, all those things at various points in time. He said if you could put it in one word, it would be interesting. It would be interesting. If you want an interesting life, serve God. It's going to be interesting. You want to be bored, don't serve God. You know. So I don't know. I guess there's different ways to look at it. The day-to-day life, maybe, we, you know, especially when we're young, we might feel, you know, just coming and going, but boy, in the long run, when I think about my 40 years and all the changes and ups and downs and woo, and I just stayed right here. Definitely, he keeps things hopping. But this is my life. This is what I live for, just to be
part of what he's doing. Hallelujah, it is in God. Let's praise him tonight before we go on. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful, glorious life you've given us in you. Hallelujah. What you've done for us. Going to the cross of Calvary. Sending back the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. To abide in us. And giving us a new life. Hallelujah. And we may walk above the sin, above the earthly terror. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Remember to pray for one another and invite someone to church this Sunday. And we'll meet back here again on Sunday. Is anybody going to Fort Smith? Is anybody...